Words of caution from top health officials testifying before the Senate on reopening the nation.
There is a real risk that you will trigger an outbreak that you may not be able to control, which in fact, paradoxically, will set you back, not only leading to some suffering and death that could be avoided, but could even set you back on the road to trying to get economic recovery.
And the Supreme Court hears arguments over President Trump's financial records virtually. It's Tuesday, May 12th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. Democrats have released a proposal for a new wave of coronavirus relief, a $3 trillion spending bill. The plan includes $1 trillion for states and local governments and another round of direct checks to Americans. The House is expected to return to Washington to vote on the bill on Friday. Several Republican lawmakers have said they want to see how the $3 trillion already approved by Congress is dispersed before voting on additional legislation. We report that big advertisers are pulling back on TV ads. Companies including General Motors, PepsiCo, and General Mills could cancel up to 50% of their third quarter broadcast and cable ad commitments. TV ad spending fell in the first few weeks of the pandemic, but long-term deals have prevented a steeper drop. Those contracts started expiring on the 1st of May, and ad buyers are now predicting up to $1.5 billion in canceled contracts. And we report that Uber is making a takeover offer for meal delivery business Grubhub. People familiar with the matter tell the Journal that Uber first approached Grubhub earlier this year, and the companies are negotiating the terms of a deal. Grubhub's shares jumped 25% on the news. A deal between the companies, if it happens, would unite two of the biggest players in meal delivery at a time when the pandemic lockdowns have sparked a surge in demand. Coming up after the break, the fight over President Trump's financial records before the Supreme Court. Today, the Supreme Court heard arguments over teleconference in a pair of cases involving President Trump's financial records. In the first case, three House committees are seeking access to a broad range of private documents from Trump's bankers. A lawyer for the president, Patrick Strawbridge, said the committee's subpoenas weren't made for legitimate reasons, but rather to hound the president.
These subpoenas are overreaching. They are an obvious distraction. They are going to multiply if this court accepts the path that the House is attempting to lay.
The House's general counsel, Douglas Leder, said many presidents have complied with similar requests.
History really matters here, and it shows that the arguments being made here by President Trump are astonishingly ask you to ignore a massive amount of history.
Liberal and conservative justices asked about the potential ramifications of their arguments. Here's Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
What is the principle, the limiting principle, that would say legitimate legislative purpose, yes, looking toward enacting a law, but not to harass a president from the opposing party?
The second case before the court today centered on efforts by the District Attorney of Manhattan, Cyrus Vance, to obtain records related to the Trump Organization. Trump's lawyer, Jay Sekulow, said those records are immune from subpoena as long as Trump's in the White House.
No county district attorney in our nation's history has issued criminal process against the sitting president of the United States, and for good reason. The Constitution does not allow it.
A lawyer for the district attorney, Carrie Dunn, said the office is allowed to investigate matters from before the president took office.
Under our Constitution, when a president acts as a private individual, he or she has responsibilities like every other citizen, including compliance with legal process.
Decisions in the cases could come as early as this summer. The U.S. now has more than 1.3 million confirmed cases of the coronavirus, and more than 80,000 people have died. As states begin reopening, top health officials are warning the nation to proceed with caution. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, was among those who testified before the Senate Health Committee today, saying more testing is needed and that the risks of new spikes will continue into the fall.
There is a real risk that you will trigger an outbreak that you may not be able to control, which in fact, paradoxically, will set you back, not only leading to some suffering and death that could be avoided, but could even set you back on the road to trying to get economic recovery.
Joining me now to discuss today's hearing is Wall Street Journal reporter Tom Burton. Tom, what else did we hear from Dr. Fauci today about where we are in fighting the pandemic?
Well, I think the primary thing he said is that we can't really hold out immediate hope that a new drug or a vaccine is going to solve things by the time schools would reopen in the fall. He and others did point out that the best way around that now is to do better and more comprehensive testing of people, and I think that would apply also to school kids and young people going back to college.
So as you mentioned, Dr. Fauci was asked about the ability of colleges to reopen in the fall, and he called the prospect of having a vaccine by then a bridge too far. Can you tell us a little bit more about what he addressed in terms of colleges being able to reopen and the timeline for a possible vaccine?
He's talking in terms of if things break really well, that we in the United States might be able to produce a successful vaccine by the end of the year or early into next year. There's been some talk of a group at Oxford University in England perhaps doing something a little sooner than that, but it really sounded to me as if he's talking about sometime at the end of the year or early next year before a vaccine could possibly be ready. And he also is saying that drugs may be useful, they probably will be useful, but in terms of counting on them to reopen schools, probably not. So what he's saying is that to reopen schools or colleges, or for that matter, offices for people going back to work in an office, there's going to have to be a lot more testing of people. And I think for a lot of people to feel confident working in an office when they can adequately work at home, they're going to need to be sure that everybody else in the office tested negative twice and that they themselves tested negative twice so people in the office can safely feel happy about being around them. So I think testing is going to be really key. I think it gets more and more key the closer we get to seeing more reopening happening.
And let's talk more about testing. President Trump spoke about that from the White House yesterday, and we also heard from CDC Director Robert Redfield today, who stressed the importance of testing as well.
Rapid, extensive, and widely available timely testing is essential for reopening America.
Where do we stand on testing right now, Tom?
Well, testing has improved over the last month, but it's still quite a ways short of where it needs to be. And I know President Trump and others have sort of made fun of the idea that we don't have enough testing. Well, there's nothing amusing about the topic. The reason that the large numbers have been talked about is so, to use a kind of a simple metaphor, it's a way of casting a wide net. Right now, if we're testing at all, we tend to be testing people who have symptoms and are very likely to be sick. The whole point of the wider testing, no matter what the methodology is, the whole point of the wider testing is to test a much larger group of people and see if there are small groups of people with disease who don't know that they have them yet. And by doing enough of that wider testing, and then adding contact tracing to that, by doing that wider testing, that's really the only way we're going to be sure that we have the virus down to a, I won't say an acceptable level, but to a really, really low level that people can feel more confident about.
Wall Street Journal reporter Tom Burton, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And finally, as parts of the country are beginning to reopen, we'd like to hear from you. Tell us what reopening has been like in your community. And if you have questions about it, let us know. You can call us at 315-992-8298 and leave us a voice message. That number is also in our show description. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.